So, Jed, did you get your fill of trade deadline merriment and goodwill?
I did. It was great. It's one of those things. It's like Christmas, right? Like all different presents for everybody and baseball fans. I mean, not necessarily all baseball fans, but fans of baseball. It's exciting. Players moving, players being rumored, players being treated like cattle. I love it.
Ed, it's an interesting thing when all the talking heads tell you what's going to happen and then it doesn't happen.
Yeah, and that happens, of course, every year, and there's rumors of this person going and that person going and this person going for that. And you have to wonder how much of that is all just planned by the GMs. You know, like they're trying to, like, get, you know, raise player values and stuff like that. It's all, you know, it's great stuff. It's great. It's high drama. I mean, it's better than all this political crap we've been having to deal with for the last few weeks.
Okay, this week we're just going to focus primarily on the trade deadline and the highs, the lows, the winners, the losers, both individually and by team. But before we get started, we have a new sponsor.
That's right. Before we get into all this hilarity and fun and merriment about baseball, today's show is brought to you by the movie Fools on the Hill. Now, I wrote this movie and directed and whatever. It's a great documentary. It's available on Amazon Prime. But I'm going to read this ad for the film. You make your own decision. Fools on the Hill story is not only a top quality romantic and dynamic film, but it is supposed to be top rated. Just better don't waste time checking up this film, Fools on the Hill, because it is one of the worst movies of documentary niche. Fools on the Hill is produced in 2012 year, and it did not bring a lot of money or got high ratings because its level is much lower than average. Even not bad at all acting of John Phillips does not make it better. But of course, if you have not got any idea about what to do and don't want to think about something serious, then you could spend 80 minutes of your life on Fools on the Hill. We hope that you 100% will enjoy this film. It is just my conclusion.
Hopefully that wasn't written by a human being.
Okay, so here's the deal. My movie Fools on the Hill is out there, whatever, and it has been pirated. And it has been pirated a lot. And what the pirate sites do is they don't really care what movie it is. I mean, they wouldn't care if it's Fools on the Hill or You've Got Mail. They just want to get as much content on there. And so they have computers that auto-generate the descriptions. And to me, that's the most amazing description of that film ever. Because first of all, it's not romantic. It's a documentary about politics. Right. And then it says that one of the guys who's briefly interviewed in the film has good acting. I mean, I thought he was charming.
That's what you look for in a documentary, is great acting.
Anyway, it is a little something I want to share with the viewing listener, and let's do the show.
Okay, let's jump in. So, I don't even really know where to start.
I know where to start.
Oh,
we're
going
to start with, what are we doing here? We're doing the verbal version of the Baldwin scale. Now, this is something I came up with 5 years ago,
yes,
where we determine whether the general managers of each team, which Baldwin are they? Are they Alec, the most successful yet flawed? No one's perfect. So, but that's sort of the ideal. Or is he the Billy Baldwin, very successful by most people's measure, very handsome, very handsomey, attractive, but maybe not as quite as successful as we'd all hoped. Then there's Steven, who, not as successful, but was in Usual Suspects, and that's got to count for something. And then Daniel, which is used to be the worst thing you could call a human being, is to say that they were Daniel Baldwin. But that's upgraded recently. He's turned his life around a little bit, but still the worst of the Baldwins. So what I want to do is I just want to go through each team and what they did, and we'll decide whether they're an Alec, a Billy, a Steven, or a Daniel.
Well, and that's really easy to follow along with because it's like A, B, S, D. So A, B, C, D, it's kind of like
Yeah, like
so we'll just throw the S in there as your scale. So the A.
Well, here's the thing:
L.
C in Spanish is spelled SI.
That's right. There you go.
So it's, we've made the connection. APCD.
C.
I love it. What do we got? Let's start. You want to just start with the American League East? Who cares?
Let's do that. Let's run through.
All right, Baltimore. They need starting pitching, right? Mm-hmm. Did they get anything of value? They got
Stephen Pierce back. That's about it. That was their big move.
I mean, here's the thing. There's not a lot of pitchers out there, so want to give them a little bit of a pass because they've put together a hell of a hitting team. But they need starting pitching. I'm going to say, you know what? I'm going to say Billy. Okay. I'm not going to go Steven on these guys because they don't really have much farm players to give away, so they did what they could.
They just added more offense, so they're just going to out-hit everybody.
It's not necessarily a bad plan, especially if you're fans of the teams that are playing them, because that only works so much. Because they are, they led the league in scoring in June, and in July they were last in the league in scoring. So not necessarily the best plan. Who's next?
Let's go to the Red Sox.
Red Sox. I thought they were going to make a bigger deal, but what happened was they didn't feel they needed to, and they brought up Andrew Benintendi to play left field.
So they're subscribing to a similar mantra too. We'll just outscore the opposition.
Yeah, which isn't a bad actually. There's been some numbers running. It's not a bad idea. Their pitching has been better. Guess what name I'm going to give these guys? So David Price. But I just feel like, I don't know, maybe it's so hard to give everyone a bad rating on the, because there's no real starting pitching available out there. But I felt like they should have done a little bit more, and I'm going to give them a Steven.
Yeah, the only thing that they could have done was trade top prospects for Chris Sale. That was probably the biggest splash that they could have done to really make a huge impact, but they would have had to give up quite a bit.
Yeah, and I don't think Chris Sale was ever really on the table.
Yeah, it's just like Fernandez was 2 years ago, that, you know, blow us away with an amazing deal and maybe we'll consider it, but otherwise nothing very serious. They were only serious if somebody gave them exactly what they wanted, and there's only three teams that could have done that, and none of them were, you know, willing to go that deep into their farm system for one player.
And I'm going to tell you right now, we can jump to the White Sox. They're getting a Daniel, because just for thinking that they still have a chance this year or next, they get a Daniel Baldwin. They should be selling off some of these pieces and building for a couple years down the line. Even the Yankees are doing it. But for whatever reason, every year the White Sox think they have, like, we have a shot here. Like, you don't have a good team.
Well, they're subscribing to the Royals from 2 years ago, the Mets from last year, as all of a sudden having that fantastic second half that propelled them into the playoffs.
Yes, but it's not like those just randomly happened to those teams.
They usually acquired somebody who made a big difference in both situations in the past 2 years.
Like the Royals created a system of baseball that beat other teams. The White Sox just are not doing that. They're not. The Mets last year had that starting rotation that just sort of mowed through everyone. Good. Mm-hmm. That's a thing to do. Are the White Sox doing that? No, you can't do that because there's no one available. Anyway, I jumped to the Central. I'm sorry, John, but I just had to make it known.
How about the Toronto Blue Jays?
Toronto Blue Jays, weird. I'm going to give them a Steven. They needed to get a starting pitcher. I'm concerned about what they're going to do with that rotation. It's good. And they're doing like the Baltimore Orioles, the softball thing, right? Like just hammer everybody. I get concerned about that. They added Melvin Upton a couple weeks ago, right? That still counts as like a trade deadline.
Yeah, it's still a trade deadline.
Yeah, like the Red Sox got Drew Pomeranz, whoever that is, Drew Pomeranz. And so that counts as something. So it's not like they didn't do anything. I just felt they could have done more. Mm-hmm. But Toronto, I felt, should have got a starting pitcher. But again, we're talking about not a lot available, and they don't have a lot in their farm system. And maybe so sort of everyone saw that everyone was not really doing that much. Plus, a lot of these American League East teams, like the team to go shopping with was the Rays, and I don't think the Rays were giving any of their pitchers to the American League East.
No.
I don't think a small team like that can take it. I don't think their psyche can take it. But I'm going to drop a Steven on Toronto as well.
Yeah, I think Toronto, all they did was they picked up Mike Bolsinger from the Dodgers for Jesse Chavez.
Yeah.
That was about the extent of it. I think that was all they did.
Well, they traded Hutchison.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Hutchison to the Pirates.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was...
For Liriano.
Yeah, for Liriano. So that was a big trade. That was.
But that's not a good player. You can't you can't trade for a bad player and be like, oh, look, they got a starting pitcher.
Right. They gave up Drew Hutchison to pick up Liriano, two really good minor leaguers, prospects from the Pirates. So two of their top prospects, which I don't quite understand why the Pirates would be willing to give up that much for Drew Hutchison. So unless, you know, Ray Searidge is going to do miracles with him and he'll have an amazing second half. But that one didn't quite make a ton of sense other than Liriano might be a free agent next year. I'm not sure at the end of the season, but we'll see. But I would agree. So that leaves us with the Rays, who you mentioned.
The Rays, who traded Matt Moore. And they were going to trade one of those guys, Odorizzi, Archer, Moore, and Smiley. And Moore is the one that's been pitching best recently. And that's a good trade for them. I might give them a Billy.
Yeah, they got Matt Duffy. They also traded Pierce and Brandon Guyer. So they were active and...
You know what? I'm going to go ahead and give these guys an Alec.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'm going to turn things around a little bit here. I think they did what they were supposed to do.
So I'm very curious for the final team in the AL East what your grade is going to be, the New York Yankees.
I mean, they're the Baldwin. They're
shiny Baldwin in the group.
We're talking Glengarry, Glenn Ross, Alec Baldwin. Like, they just schooled everybody this year. They got rid of Andrew Miller. I thought for sure they'd keep him. I mean, it's great for all the rest of the American League East fans because, like, the Yankees are going to be a bad team this year and next. But, you know, they're like, hey, what about the year after? And I admire it.
I think really what they're doing, and you can kind of see the writing on the wall, they're going to be unloading a ton of salary in the next year.
Yeah, after next season, after they get rid of all that stuff, yeah.
And they're going to be primed for when Fernandez is on the market, when Bryce Harper is on the market.
Yeah.
So they're really tooling for 2019 and beyond.
It's just so weird to see them doing it.
Like, it is, and it's been like 25 years since they've done anything to this extent. So it is pretty interesting to see them do that. But
they basically have the best farm system in baseball now, or at least like in the top three.
Yeah, definitely.
They have the most top 100 100 prospects.
I think they picked up five of the top 20 yesterday. This past week. So it's very, very, you know, clapping for the Yankees.
Yeah,
finally,
half those guys are gonna work out. If only half do, they're set.
Yeah, they've got it. They actually have a new core group that could be moving through in the next 2 to 3 years, which will be interesting to see how competitive they are.
I will say I rest easy as a Red Sox fan knowing that we've had that for a few years, and you're seeing it now with Mookie Betts, Xander Bogaerts.
And more to come.
Jackie Bradley, Benintendi's coming, and there's always Yoan Moncada where they don't even know where they're going to play him yet. Maybe third base. But they're just like, you know what? Go down there and just keep hitting the hell out of the ball. We'll play you at second for now, and if Pedroia stays healthy, we'll move you to third.
Speaking of other... You know, high A Alec teams. How about the Indians?
Hey, I loved their acquisition of Andrew Miller. They overpaid a little bit, but that's just the price. And I wish they had gotten Lucroy, but Lucroy did the old, I have the whatever. It's
I have
no
power.
Trade clause, right?
I have the power to say no.
And so apparently it wasn't really a money thing. Though, who wants to move to Cleveland, crying out loud? But apparently it was because they wouldn't guarantee him catcher time the next year, like to be a full-time catcher. And the rumors were that they were going to be trading him off in the offseason, which, so crazy. But because the Indians have such a good deal with Gomes. Even though he's a negative player,
But they've got money tied up in him, they're not going to...
Yeah.
Yes,
but trade him off and keep Lucroy, who's very good defensively and very good offensively. Anyway, but that's apparently the skinny on the street. But I'm going to give them an Alec. You're the one of the best teams. They might be the best team in the American League. I'll say they're the best team in the American League. And you go out there and you improve your bullpen, which was a little shaky. And did they pick up an outfielder too? Well, they picked up Guyer.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, that plus what they had, like a smart team, man. Playing it right, I think.
Yeah. They're strongly positioned for the postseason as a threat because of the pitching staff. Starting pitching and now the bullpen is a lock. They're going to be tough to beat.
Though I will say on that starting pitching staff, Salazar on the DL.
Mm-hmm.
That looks not awesome. And then tonight, or yesterday, or the day before, depending on when you're listening to this, Carrasco was throwing 92. He does not have a good 92-mile-an-hour fastball. He has a very good 95-mile-an-hour fastball. But if he's throwing 92, and he was just getting hammered by the Twins, and it was difficult to watch. I hope his parents didn't have to see that, if they're allowed to watch television wherever they live. Moving on.
Okay, so let's move on to the Tigers, who are on a hot streak.
The Tigers didn't do much, did they? No.
They didn't really do a thing.
Yeah, I think they're just sort of thinking, you know what? Jordan Zimmerman's going to come back. We don't really have... I guess they traded... I guess they didn't even trade anyone.
I don't think they moved anybody.
But you know what? I can't really fault them, so I'm going to give them a Steven. Because they did all their stuff in the offseason. They don't have anything else to give.
Okay, how about the Kansas City Royals? They fall into the same category.
Well, Royals, I'm going to give them a straight. I want to give them a Daniel, but the World Series says I can't give them a Daniel. So, Steven. These guys are Stephen Baldwin all the way because, first of all, trade off some of these assets. You're not going to the playoffs this year. Don't give me this BS about how there's still a chance. You're not going. You did well last 2 years. All that stuff, that good timing, is all gone. Get some pieces. They didn't get any pieces. Of course, part of the problem was they were talking about trading Wade Davis, and then he goes on the DL. But because they were like, "Wow, look what they got for," if that's what you can get for Craig Kimbrel, what the Red Sox paid for Kimbrel in the offseason, what the Yankees paid for Chapman, someone's going to pay a king's ransom for Davis. He goes on the DL. All right, he's going to start getting expensive in arbitration. And then the rumor was that you can get Wade Davis, but you also have to take Ian Kennedy away, one of the worst free agent signings in the history of baseball. Not only did they lose all that money, and they will for the next 4 years lose that money, but they also lost their draft pick because they signed him. A bad move.
Yeah.
I was stunned the Padres put the thing on him. English words, baseball. What's the word?
The keeper tag thing.
Yeah, the keeper tag thing. Let's do that. Qualifying offer. There man. Tune in for more baseball insights. We know about baseball. We swear. Please don't turn this off. Plus, we're only halfway through this, people. There's still a lot more teams to talk about.
Okay, Minnesota.
Minnesota. I think they did okay, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
they
wound
up picking up Santiago.
Yeah, but they...
dumping Nolasco, and that was not necessarily a bad thing.
Did they save money on that, or what was the deal?
I'm not sure.
I'm going to give them a Steven. They're a mess. They did finally bring up Jose Barrios, though.
Mm-hmm.
And after the first inning, the dude was a beast. This is what I've been waiting for all year on my fantasy baseball team. He destroyed Cleveland yesterday after the first inning.
And he gave up three or four runs in the first inning?
Three runs in the first inning, probably just nerves, right? And then just mowed them down. Awesome stuff.
Exciting times.
But that's still a Stephen Baldwin tag for Minnesota. But not a Daniel Baldwin. But that's just because, you know, they got rid of their general manager. It would have been Daniel otherwise, because I hate how they run that team. What else is there?
Okay, we've got Tigers, Indians, Royals, Twins.
We did the White Sox. We did them already.
Okay, so we move on to the AL West.
All right, well, let's just go to the Texas. That's Alec Baldwin right there. Once again, mm-hmm. people snoozing, they just jump in. Trades fall through, they jump in. Someone blocks it. Someone invokes their no trade clause, just like last year with Hamels. They jump in. They've given up a ton of talent, and eventually they're going to run out of talent to give up. But I wouldn't even say that to get Lucroy that they really gave up too much. I would say
they gave up
a good amount. Mm-hmm. But Lewis Brinson went, and something Lopez, not to sound racist, but his last name is Lopez. It's a good haul. I love Brinson. And I know guys like Keith Law have him, like, I think ranked like number 20. Other people have him closer to 50, but a top 20 player for a year and a third of a low price catcher feels a little light.
Yeah, it was Brinson and Luis Ortiz.
Luis Ortiz, right. Yeah. So not Lopez. But you see how I could have gotten Lopez from Luis Ortiz. Mm-hmm. It's sort of like Brangelina, but with his full name.
It's like Smith.
It's a little racist.
Smith or Jones.
It's a little racist.
Okay.
I thought the Red Sox should have gotten him. I just say more offense. When you have a team like the Red Sox, just more offense. Like, why not? Just give them Rafael Devers. Who cares?
Well, they picked up Jeffress, which was a great for the back end of the bullpen. But the one thing that the Texas is still a little skeptical on them is the starting pitching.
Oh, it's a nightmare. Their starting pitcher is an absolute pitching situation is an absolute nightmare. But I just love the moves. Like getting Carlos Beltran, and they're just like, you know what? Everyone else in the American League, except for the Indians, is just planning on slugging their way through this. Well, so are we.
And it's interesting because after last year with the Mets, and it was all about the pitching and the dominance of the pitching, and the bullpen domination that the Royals had with their, get six innings out of your starter, and we'll take care of the rest in the back end. Now you're seeing teams stocking up with a ton of offense.
Yeah.
So it will be interesting because when we get to that wild card playoff game, that is going to be a very – if a team like Texas or Boston winds up in that one-game playoff and they go up against a buzzsaw, all that offense could be shut down, and it's all important for these teams to really – the Orioles too.
Yeah.
To finish in the top, instead of being in a wild card to win their division.
You mean qualifying offer?
Right.
All right.
Right. That thing. First place, that thing. Okay, so let's move on to the A's. The A's did pretty good, too, with their flipping Reddick and Hill.
Yeah, I thought they got a little bit of an overpay from the Dodgers, but just nice for both teams. Dodgers get Reddick and Hill. Hill's a bit of a lottery ticket. The A's were like, well, do we keep Hill and wait for him to get his blister thing sorted out, offer him an extension or offer him a qualifying offer, which I now remember very easily. I thought smart Billy Beaning.
Mm-hmm. They weren't going to keep either one of them.
Yeah. So, and they might make another trade in August for them. I see them moving maybe like Sean Doolittle once he's back, mm-hmm. just as someone who needs a lefty desperately. But we're going to go ahead and give them an Alec. Billy Bean spent – well, he's not really the GM anymore, right? He's the president of baseball operations. Mm-hmm. But we're going to give the Oakland A's an Alec, and they spend a lot of time there. Most years, that's where they've been.
Okay, how about Seattle?
Seattle, I was really excited that they were trying to get Zach Cozart. And then that from the Cincinnati Reds, and then that trade fell through for whatever reason. Because I was like,
I have no idea why, because that was first reported out here early in the morning, like 7 a.m. So they had 6 hours to get that deal done.
Yeah, and it seemed like a strong deal for Seattle, and certainly the Reds shouldn't be holding on to anything that's not tied down. And yeah, I was surprised, but I'm gonna have to give them a Steven because. But they're in that weird area, right? Like they're at 500. So like you can't really sell everything off. And who wants Adam Lind anyway?
Right.
You know, like so maybe you're better off hoping Adam Lind catches fire and then you trade him off in August and get a small piece back for that. I don't know. It's weird. But Felix is back. He's not looking that awesome, though.
No.
He gave up like six walks the other day.
Yeah. We'll see if he's able to get back to form after a couple of starts. But the window here is very interesting for Seattle. They, you know, based on what DePoto came in and was going to do all on-base percentage and thought they were going to be much more competitive, their issue has been pitching. You know, this is one of the things they thought was going to be a strong suit. Cishek has blown, I think, 6 or 7 saves. You know, so you get those wins back, they're in a completely different position.
Yeah.
And just has not been, the back end of the bullpen has not been a good place for them this year.
Yeah, it's, I mean, look, 500 this year would be better than last year, right? Weren't they under 500 last year?
They were right around 500 again last year.
I just like the way he's building the team. I like the way he's trying to structure this thing. And I think some of the stuff's gone poorly. You know, I don't think is his fault, but I think there's some bad luck that's been going on. No, they were 10 games under last year.
Were they?
Yeah. So I think if you make a 10-game improvement.
Yeah, that's a step in the right direction.
You know, and it's like, I just think he's doing the right things, you know, and they got this guy, their minor league system has been awful, but they had this guy, Tyler O'Neill, down in the minors, who is just destroying everything. And I love it. I love it. I have him on one of my fantasy baseball teams, minor leagues, very excited. If I could in my in the one that you and I are in, I'd grab him, but can't really do that because he's not, you know, we don't do minor leagues in the middle of the year. No one cares, Jed. Okay, thank you.
Moving on.
The guys in the league do. Now I just gave up my position next year in the draft. Everyone knows that I'm going to want to go after Tyler O'Neill. There's no way Tyler O'Neill lasts to my pick in the draft, though, because I will have the last pick because I will be in first place, because I'm in first place by 30 points.
And chances are pretty good that no one will in our league will listen to this podcast. So
that is also a very good point, John.
Okay, so let's move on to Houston.
Yeah.
Did nothing.
Didn't really do anything. They traded.
No splash. They talked about big things. They talked about starting pitching. Starting pitching and didn't pull the trigger.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that there's anyone out there that's better than Mike Fiers and Doug Fister. I almost would have liked to see them. I mean, they can't really trade anyone away, can they? No, they couldn't.
Well,
Bregman,
Feldman.
Feldman. That's I knew. Yeah. Sorry, that also is a little bit racist, isn't it? It's a little anti-Semitical.
So they traded Feldman and Josh Fields, two pitchers that.
Yeah.
Feldman's been reliable, which don't quite understand. Some of these trades seemed like, you know, I'm going to trade my, not to say that Feldman's junk, but some of these other trades were like, I'm going to trade my junk for your junk and we'll see how it all, you know, plays out at the end of the year. Just to say that we were in the fray, that we were, you know, playing the trade game.
Yeah, I mean, I like the Astros and it does seem like, you know, we were talking about them a few weeks ago and it was just like, if they just get the starting pitching sorted out and it's getting there, but it's... It's not caught up to the offense, and fortunately, Texas just has sort of fallen back to earth a bit. So they're 3 games behind now. That's very,
you know, I think it's actually more than that. I think it's closer.
I'm looking at the standings right now, John.
Is it 3?
It's 3.
Houston's 5.5 back.
Are they not 56-50?
They are 56-50.
Behind. Oh, you know, that is a great point. They are 5.5 back. Okay, so for those of you listening,
you're looking at the
column
card
to the left of the one I was looking at. So they're behind 3 games in the wild card. So yeah, they're behind by 5.5. But that's very still surmountable versus that Texas team with no. They have like Texas has Cole Hamels, who's good. I wouldn't even say great. It's not like he's old Cole Hamels. He's actually old Cole Hamels now.
Right.
And they have Yu Darvish, who is when he's on, he's the great pitcher, he's an ace, and then it's just 3 garbage piles already doused with gasoline, just ready to be set on fire.
Yes, it's not great. Cole and you and pray for rain.
Yes,
it doesn't quite rhyme, but that'll work. Okay, so we've gone through everybody but the Angels.
Yeah, the Angels. Well, they're going to get a Daniel because I don't think they know what they're doing over there.
Yeah, there is a lot of confusion, I think, around that team. Although they did have a 6-game winning streak, and then they, I think, have gone 4-6 in their last 10 games. So,
but here's the thing. They actually had like a nice little thing after the All-Star break. Like, oh, they're 12-6 after the All-Star break. And same with the Rockies. And we're going to get to the Rockies in a little bit. But this is what I hate, is when people look at something like that and be like, wow, look, they've really turned it around. This terrible, remember, this team was terrible, and then they won like 10 out of 12 games. Oh my God, now they're a great team. Oh yeah, I understand baseball. I understand math. I'm an idiot. Somebody kill me and put me out of my misery. It drives me so crazy to see these people. And obviously it shouldn't drive me this crazy, but it's so infuriating.
So yeah,
every team can have a winning streak in baseball. This isn't freaking football.
So you even had people talking about this leading into the weekend. The teams like the Rockies, who are on a run. I think to a certain extent the Tigers' run is legitimate.
Well, that's because they have a good team.
The Yankees, before they ran into that buzzsaw that was the Tampa Bay Rays, who swept them over the weekend.
Yes.
Yankees were back in the hunt. People were like,
oh, look,
no,
a couple games over 500. Oh, blah, blah, blah. Suddenly we're not a terrible team. Blah, 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 blah.
So the old fogey home is going to kick it into high gear and win the AL East. Not going to happen.
But for some reason, people just think like, oh, well, if you look at the last 12 games, like, yeah, okay, but why are we just looking at the last 12 games? That feels like we're limiting the scope of reference.
To me, the bigger thing that a lot of fans don't do is they get caught up in the moment, and they don't sit there and look at the schedule and what's the strength of schedule that they're playing.
Yeah.
How many road games do they have in the month of September? Things like that ultimately is what's going to be that weeds out the wannabes from the real, you know, the real playoff caliber teams.
Yeah, and it's how are they winning the games? How, you know, is it luck? Like, there is luck in baseball. So, like, are you saying then that the Colorado Rockies lucked into a couple wins, so now they're going to be lucky all season? It just doesn't happen that way. It does happen very rarely.
Rarely, like it did, what was it, 2007, when they won 16 out of their last 17 games?
Yes, and it can happen. It's not like, oh, if you can win one game, you can win 30 in a row, technically. But you're not going to win 30 in a row.
And when it happens, it's an anomaly. The A's did it back in the 90s.
It's like every 4 or 5 years, someone does a thing like that, where they just go on like a 17-2 run or whatever. And it's like, oh, wow, look, now they're like, even the Indians did something like that this year to take over first place. Good for them.
Right.
But that's a good team. That's a good,
strong
pitching.
Same thing with Houston.
And hitting that's come around.
Yeah. And that's one of the things you have to look at, too, is the differential between runs scored and runs allowed.
Yeah.
That's usually a key indicator about who's a good team and who's a bad team.
But, John, what if they're losing? Their losses are by a lot of runs and their wins are by just a few. It's hard to blah, blah, blah. This is what everyone says. They don't understand these numbers. These numbers pan out over time. It's one of the beauties of the 162-game season. It drives me – I'm not going to do another thing, but it drives me crazy. Who's next?
Well, the Rockies are +8.
Yeah, it's not that – look, it's not that they can't score runs. It's just that they're not a good team. It's very simple.
Well, they can't score runs. They just can't stop teams from scoring runs.
Exactly.
Okay, so let's move on now to the National League. So how about the Giants?
Giants, that's going to be a yeah, you know what? Give them an Alec. That's a good pickup. Matt Moore from the Rays is a good pickup. I didn't like the Will Smith pickup. He makes great movies. Every time Will Smith, the baseball player, is in the news, the Will Smith jokes on the internet go bananas.
So the
kind but I don't like him because he's still injured.
But the wild card there is Phil Bickford, who no one knows what Phil Bickford is going to turn into. Is he
the
going
reports
to be...
are wildly varying. Some people have big giant boners for him, and other people are not interested.
Yeah, some people are saying he's not even going to make it to the big leagues.
Yeah, but that's a great pickup for Milwaukee.
Yeah,
like that's a great, like, yeah, that's exactly who they should be going after, especially for Will Smith, lefty reliever, injured lefty reliever, I might add. Injured. He's injured. You know how I know he's injured? Is because he was injured, and then when he came back from his injury, quote-unquote, he was pitching worse than he was before. That's how you know he's still injured. Right. Bad pickup by the Giants. But Matt Moore is a very strong pickup. They had to pay a lot for him, but that's a very strong pickup. That gives them an Alec right there. Plus, they win the World Series all the time. So
right, it's their year. It's their turn.
I hate that stuff so much, but anyway.
Okay, Dodgers.
Dodgers, I'm going to go ahead and give them an Alec. They kept all their top talent. They acquired an outfielder that they needed desperately. And if Rich Hill can fix that blister, there's, what, four pitchers that are better than him in baseball, and one of them is Clayton Kershaw?
Mm-hmm.
Or has been, I should say.
Right.
Obviously, he doesn't have the track record of all these guys, but he has been incredible as a pitcher. And if he can just get that blister under control, and frankly, the way the Dodgers are positioned now, they can just say, hey, Rich, you take your time with that blister, man. You don't need to worry about it.
And they probably should be telling Kershaw to take his time coming back because they're 18-10 since he's been gone. And it's their better winning percentage without him. I'm being facetious, but
yes.
They are definitely in a different...
But people, all the Dodger fans and the media, this is the thing. It's the media, right? The media are like, oh, the Dodgers, they're struggling. But then if you look at the numbers, like, no, they're not struggling at all.
They're right now, I would say the Dodgers are the best team in the West.
Yeah. They're a game and a half behind the Giants. And if you look at standings like that and think that means the Giants is the better team, well, then you just have a mental deficiency. That's okay. You shouldn't operate heavy machinery.
Yeah, the Giants have definitely had a big streak there where I think they wound up having the best record of baseball for a while when the Cubs were tanking.
That's right.
And now they're settling back down to earth. I think they were above 600 winning percentage, and now they're at 575. So
they're coming without back. Kershaw,
yeah,
while Kershaw's been gone, they've had the second best pitching in the league without Kershaw.
Which is very interesting with the cast that they have assembled to do that. So.
Right, because it's an ugly cast.
It is.
But it's one of those things where all the pieces work.
Mm-hmm. I think even probably the biggest move that the Dodgers made that will give them an Alec is finally coming to grips with the Yasiel Puig scenario. And
oh, there's that too, yeah.
Sending him down, and I think he had a temper tantrum when he found out he was either going to be traded or sent down.
That was found to be not a true story.
Oh, no?
That was found to be not a true story, yes. So I don't want to... Yeah, what's his name? Rosenthal backed off of that story and apologized and...
What I heard, though, is that he was told already that... that he was told that he was going to... The first story I heard was that he had a temper tantrum and decided that he didn't want to go on the road trip. And pitched a fit. But the story that I later heard was that he was told he was going to either be traded or be sent down.
Yes.
One or the other. Whatever happened during the course of the day, he was not going to be with the Dodgers by the end of the day.
Yes. And now that when asked about it, Farhan Zaidi, which sounds like a made-up name but isn't, he's one of the many general managers that the Dodgers employ. He... refused to comment on whether he thought that Puig would ever play for the Dodgers again. So if you refuse to comment on that,
that's usually
he's just not that into you.
Right. Right. Well, and I think part of it too is some of the other conversation around that scenario was the Dodgers tried to trade him. Nobody wanted him.
Well, I don't know if that's 100% true though, because I think they were trying to trade him at sort of a low value, and I think they were just like, they didn't like what they were being offered. And they're like, well, no, this player has more value than this. Let's send him down to the minors. He can get his swing back. He can destroy some. This has happened to some players that go down and get stuff sorted out.
If he can. The
Dodgers have the money to play that gamble, to be like, hey, well, let's send him down and maybe he destroys AAA pitching.
But it's more a matter.
Like, hey, we'll take a chance
in
the offseason.
It's what's in Puig's head. Is he able to... take that as a challenge to, learn to be a better defender, learn to stop chasing bad pitches. His OPS has come down dramatically since he started out. So he's not the same player as he was in 2013.
Yeah.
Obviously, otherwise he wouldn't be sent down to them.
Well, I was just talking to a friend of mine about this today. Like, hey, all that attitude and swagger and bat flips and all that. It's awesome when you're hitting.
Right.
But right. No one likes it on your team when you're not hitting. And then, of course, there's the whole Zach Greinke thing where he called out Puig. And, you know, look, I want to be a big fan. I like that energy that he brought to the league. I think there should be more players like him and Bryce Harper. That kind of thing, I think, is good for the league. But if you're not hitting, then you just got to shut up.
Yeah, you have. If you're going to have swagger, you have to have the raw skills and the ability to back it up. You can go into a slump.
If you're going to talk the talk, you got to walk the walk, John. That's what they say.
Okay, moving on.
Yes.
Colorado Rockies.
I'm going to give them a Steven because, hello, why do you still have Carlos Gonzalez and Charlie Blackman on your team? Because you won a few games after the All-Star break? Get out of here.
Yeah, they're
get out of here. Get some more pieces. Come on. This John Gray thing, like we finally have a pitcher who's pitching well in Colorado. They got a couple guys who are pitching well in Colorado. Keep going down that road. Trade these players off. Now, I will say, in their defense on Carlos Gonzalez is a big contract, and there's a lot of corner outfielders that were available. However, Charlie Blackman to the Mets? Are you kidding me? Come on. That's a perfect fit. Get Zach Wheeler and Brandon Nimmo or something. I don't know. But the Mets need... We'll get to the Mets because I don't think the Jay Bruce thing is going to be an awesome situation. I like Jay Bruce, but not on the Mets.
It's more of that offense.
But Charlie Blackman is a center fielder. Make the trade, Colorado. But again, this is another team with like just mentally detached owners who don't really know what's going on and are probably saying like, no, you can't trade off pieces because the stuff that those owners have said out loud to people that are allowed to hear them is crazy balls. And I wouldn't be surprised if this was their move. Just like, you know what? No, you're not trading anyone off. We have a shot here. No, you don't. Go away. Your team is mediocre.
But they won't go away.
They won't go away.
They still held on. You know,
they're going to go away. You watch. They'll go on a losing streak, and all of a sudden it'll be like, oh, you know, maybe we should have traded someone off. We'll do something in the offseason. Then they won't do anything in the offseason because of this reason and that reason and whatever. And like, well, no, we want to make sure that the fan base isn't alienated. And like they got rid of Tulowitzki last year, guys. Mm-hmm. Nobody cares. They just want to win. Good job on the Jose Reyes signing. Good pick.
Yeah, that didn't work out too well for them.
Though I will say, on the whole, they have saved a great deal of money on that Tulowitzki contract, even with the Jose Reyes thing. So good for them.
There's some money there, but the bigger thing is they need better pitching. They have the bats. That's a Colorado thing. That's a Denver issue more than anything. Although David Dahl, since he's come up, has been tearing it up.
Yes.
I think he's been
sexy time.
Catalyst. Yeah.
Yeah, he's sexy time.
Well, I'm quite pleased to see that because I do have him on my minor league roster. So
absolutely. He's a fantastic minor leaguer. Plus, the way we work our minor leagues is even if he loses his rookie eligibility while he's playing, you still get to keep him in the minors until the beginning of next season.
Next season, right. So which I've got three players right now who are in that, four actually, that are in that mode.
Yeah. Yeah, I think
so that's a good thing.
You, me, and then one other team have like three guys like that, and no one else has any.
Yeah, I actually looked through that the other day, and I said, who else is in the same scenario? And I was surprised that we were the only ones.
But I'll tell you why. Because the people who are picking the minor leagues in our team, they don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, my whole thing is who's going to be major league ready in the shortest amount of time. That's what I'm looking for. I don't want to hold somebody for 6 years and hope that they'll get traded. You know, the only reason why Gallo isn't up is because he's got no place to go.
Yeah.
You know, and he's up now, but he's not getting consistent, I think, at bats. Although he did hit a 450-foot home run when he came when his first or second game back, so he's definitely going to hit the long ball.
But I was really hoping he'd be switching to Milwaukee.
So was I, because he would be playing every day.
He'd be playing, and also that's more of a home run park. Miller Park is more of a home run park than Texas.
And for him, if I was him, I would want to go to Milwaukee because I know I'd be playing every day, and I would be the guy they're building around.
Exactly.
As right now, he's not going to be that person.
Yeah, it's still very weird what they've got going on there.
Yeah, when you have so much talent in your system, Jerks and Profar didn't go, Gallo didn't go. They just the two big names that I thought they were definitely going to package. They're still there.
Yeah.
So okay, we're getting off track a little bit there. Let's see who else we got.
Padres, right? Let's do Padres, the Padres.
Yes.
Well, that's going to be a straight up Billy, because frankly, a lot of the mess that they're in is not makes them not eligible for Alec, but they have been doing a great job of just selling off everything. They got rid of Matt Kemp,
right? And like, they got rid of him.
And I think they got rid of Andrew Cashman and got like a good player back for Andrew right. Cashman.
Cashman.
Oh, Cashman is Brian Cashman.
Brian Cashman. Yeah. So yeah, that
I'm cashist. I'm being cashist.
the whole Marlins trade there. Actually, I was, biting my tongue a little bit, giving up Rodriguez and Naylor, because Naylor still has a ways to go, but giving up the pitcher was like, oh my God, they're giving up an awful lot to get what I was looking at as Cashman being the cashner.
And I got sorry about cashner, that, man.
Cashner
and to all being, you listeners who go around saying like, hey, do you have any Cashman for that? Because of me, I apologize.
So Cashner to me wasn't the reason to get rid of two prospects. It really wasn't. I didn't see that as being the big win. But Ray was supposed to be somebody that they were going to look at for a long-term play, which is why they were, I think, most disappointed that that whole scenario happened. But has that ever happened before, where a player who had been traded 2 days earlier got traded back to the same team?
I vaguely recall that having happened once before and thinking it was odd. And when this trade back happened, I vaguely remembered. I was like, I think I've heard of that happening before, where they were like, hey, you know what? We think this guy was injured with you. And the other team was like, okay, we didn't know about that.
Yeah, Castillo. I'm doing the same thing. I said Gonzalez, it's Castillo.
Luis Castillo.
So, yeah, I think that I'm glad that it worked out the way that that did, because getting Castillo back is a good thing for as far as Marlins fans are concerned, because they didn't give up too much to get Cashner.
They gave up too much to get Cashner.
I don't know.
Naylor's a top 100 player. Like, it's the only top 100 player that the team has. Now, granted, it's like 98, but 100.
But he's been getting graded out like Bickford has been. Some are loving him, some are not. And then didn't he accidentally stab one of his teammates earlier this year?
There was an incident with a knife. Right. In a hazing incident of some sort. But I will say this. He's 19 years old.
Yeah, lots of time to develop.
But he'll eventually wind up being traded from the Padres to an American League team because he won't be able to play in the field. But that said, Andrew Cashner had a couple of good starts before the deadline. If you're a Marlins fan, please do not tune into games he is pitching. He has a straight fastball. Here's the problem. His extension on his arm, on his release, is such that he sort of alligator arms it, and his fastball speed is the apparent speed and the actual speed. There's almost a 2 mile an hour differential. And so that's why it looks like, wow, he's throwing 95. But what baseball players are seeing is 93 and a half, 93.2, whatever, something like that. So that's why he's so hittable. Now, granted, at Miami's ballpark, there's a little bit more comfort zone there or whatever, or leeway, right?
Right, for pitchers.
But he is not a good pitcher. And that's just a waste of whatever. And I know it's a thin pitching market, but that's just – anyway. But you know what? They had to get someone, and right. I'm surprised they couldn't just trade Naylor for Hellickson. I think Hellickson would have been a better pickup than
– I think the what I heard about that was that the Phillies weren't – it's just funny. The Phillies weren't thrilled about the Marlins' prospects. It was like, we're not liking what we see down there, which was the case with a lot of teams, that the Marlins were very aggressive, and wanted to make trades, but – not too many teams were looking at what they saw very positively to pull a trigger on anything significant. So they were never in the market for a tier, a one or a two. They were mostly in the market for a four or a five.
Yeah. I mean, we jump over to the Phillies real quick here. Like, you're going to get a Steven if you don't make trades. And you've got Jeremy Hellickson. You trade him. You've got a couple of relievers. You trade them. Look at what people are paying for relievers. Trade your relievers.
They would have been... I mean, because I think...
You know what? Scratch it. They're getting Danieled. They're back in the Daniel bin. They spent almost every year, I wrote that column, the Baldwin scale, they spent almost every year in that bin. Last year, they Alec'd all the way. They did a great job of getting players. This year, they're back in the Daniel bin.
Well, they've overperformed expectations this year.
Yeah.
With a very young team. You flip two players that they probably could have picked up four prospects for.
Yeah.
And position themselves, because they're not going to contend next year. They're probably 2-3 years away. So flip three more, or flip two players for four players that are eventually going to be on that team. They've already shown that they're developing, and you know, a lot of times when you bring up the young players, they don't perform well. They've actually exceeded expectations the entire season. They haven't had a really up and down season. They've been pretty consistent. They started off hot, which was really unrealistic, but they've settled in, and they're, you know, only 10 games under 500. They're not a horrible team.
Yeah, but they'll end up 20 games under 500, so they're horrible enough. Who else do we have in the West? Diamondbacks.
Diamondbacks, yes.
Daniel, next. Daniel.
Yeah, there's not a lot going on out in the desert these days. It's
You know what? I heard they were dangling Shelby. Is it Shelby Miller?
Yeah, Shelby Miller.
Shelby Miller. Like, okay, guys. And then it was like, oh no, they were like, he's definitely not available. Like, okay, thanks for letting us know. We'll change all of our plans.
Right. We'll talk to you next trade deadline.
Yes. Though I will say, all the other teams are disappointed that the Diamondbacks weren't buying, because wow, do they overpay?
Right. Yeah. Okay, we've got 10 more teams to go through and 8 minutes to do it.
We can do it.
So, Cincinnati Reds.
Should have traded more. Let's give them a Steven. No one cares about the Reds. Let's move on.
Milwaukee Brewers, we've talked a little bit about.
Those are Alex all the way. I don't know who the GM is there, because who cares?
John Stearns.
Fantastic work by that guy, man. You trade the relievers. He had a closer and an eighth setup man. What did he do? He traded him. Did he have future years on them? Yeah. Who cares? Get the players. Get the value. Build for the future. You can always get new relievers. Relievers are just failed starters. There's tons of failed starters all over the league. Just keep bringing them in. Get that talent. They have an awesome farm system. And 3 years from now, it's going to be them and the Cubs going head-to-head.
And I just dated myself by saying John Stearns, former catcher for the Mets. It's actually David Stearns.
No, you said David Stearns.
Did I say David?
Yeah.
I thought I said
but
John.
You just dated yourself now by making it seem like you have dementia.
I thought I said John. Okay, David. So we're moving along. So we've got
Pittsburgh. I'm going to give them an Alec. They, you know, this is a smart team. They didn't buy. They're close on the wild card. They could still get into the wild card. But they sold Melanson, get some value, fairly replaceable. I mean, what's the difference between him and Tony Watson, really, at the back end of a game? I think it's smart.
I think the unknown for them that could wind up being a big negative is the trade with Toronto. The two minor leaguers that they gave up there are...
But Hutchinson is sexy time, too. Like, there were experts last year thinking he could win the... Right. The Cy Young last year.
Right. No, like
He has the skills.
And Ray Searage can't be the guy that kind of puts him around. But we'll see. We'll see.
But they dumped Liriano's contract and they got Hutchinson back. I like that move. I like a smart baseball, a smart mid lower market baseball team operation.
Thingy.
Okay. They're gonna do something about Andrew McCutchen, though. They may have to trade him in the offseason. They got too many outfielders, and he's just,
Yeah, and it's hard to believe that you would say that, they need to get younger. I don't know if they, McCutchen's not that old, but it's, he's a guy that, he reminds me a little bit of, I really couldn't even say Dwayne Wade in basketball because they haven't won a championship, but, he's the kind of guy.
Wade won a championship.
No, McCutchen hasn't.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So I'm trying to draw that comparison that he's.
You know what? That's a very good point, John. I'm going to correct myself that McCutchen hasn't won a championship.
There you go.
Good.
Okay, St. Louis Cardinals.
Steven.
Yeah. Did they make any trades at all?
This is. You know what? I'm going to say they're a Billy, because we haven't given many Billies, and they're a half a game out of the wild card, and they have some pieces, and they didn't trade anything off, but I feel like they could have. They have injuries. It's a weird position that team's in. I'm going to say they did the right move by just sort of standing pat and with what they have. That's what I'm going to say.
They're not a bad team.
Yeah, it's a solid team. I don't think they needed to do much. Maybe some bullpen help, because Trevor Rosenthal you know, just crapping the bed has been not great for them. But yeah,
they're plus 87 differential, and they're not playing like a plus 87 differential team. So
part of that's because Matheny's a bad manager, but other it's just some bad luck in there. Well, they just lost three in a row, right? Yeah.
Speaking of not bad luck, how about the Chicago Cubs?
Okay, so any team that goes out and gets Aroldis Chapman, first of all, outrage over the domestic violence and the shootings and whatever. Okay, baseball-wise, great move. That bullpen is incredible. You know, they don't have any other real holes. I mean, I guess they kind of need some help at catcher, but it's not really.
No, I think they just solidified their... Yeah. Their starting pitching had a little bit of a lull there for a while, but their offense is going to score plenty of runs.
Yeah.
And then they have just a shutdown. I watched the the end of the game tonight against the Marlins, and Chapman was had, I think, 7 or 8 pitches over 100 miles an hour, topping out at 104.
It's just incredible.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, so let's give them an ALEC, even though they did overpay for Chapman.
Okay, Atlanta Braves.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to give them a Daniel because I know they're doing a plan, but they didn't trade Julio Teheran, and you got to trade Julio Teheran. Like, that would have been the best pitcher available on the market, and you could have gotten good stuff.
The two surprises were Teheran and Hellickson didn't get traded. Those were the two that I expected would be the two of the most desirable pitchers, and they didn't go.
Well, Anna's like, well, we got a new stadium next year. We want to make sure that we have at least some good pitching. Like, oh, really? Right. You think Teheran is that? You think
they're going to build their entire brand around Teheran?
Sounds
and,
good.
And Kemp.
Yeah, Kemp. You know what? That alone. Of course, they did get rid of that Hector Olivero. You know, that was a win-win for the Padres and the Braves. Like, they just wanted to get rid of that. That's an embarrassing, but you know what? Just the fact that they traded for Hector Olivero in the first place, they get Danieled. Next. Okay, Philadelphia's Danieled. Mets.
The New York Mets.
Danieled. Jay Bruce.
They need another outfielder.
They need a center fielder.
Right.
They don't need another outfielder. They need a center fielder.
Especially since Cespedes says he doesn't want to play. That forces Granderson or Conforto, which, I mean, Granderson's a better option than Conforto. Conforto is going to look like Schwarber did in the left field last year for the Cubs.
Yeah.
And it's an adventure out there. So they don't have a center fielder. They're going to have to find bats for Bruce because he's, you know, 25 home runs, 80 RBIs. Why would you not want that bat in your lineup?
I'm sorry, what was that second word? 80 what?
80 RBIs?
RBIs?
Yeah.
Who cares? John.
Okay, you're all about war.
John, just because he's lucky enough to bat behind Joey Votto, I don't want to hear about his RBIs. Joey Votto isn't going with him to the Mets. He's got Curtis Granderson ahead of him. Big difference.
We'll see.
Well, will we?
We will.
So I didn't like what they did. And, they're struggling through all that pitching stuff. Here's the thing, that the biggest problem I have with the Mets is their outfield defense just got worse.
Worse, right.
And, this is part of the reason why Syndergaard hasn't been as amazing this year and DeGrom hasn't been as amazing this year. It's because their defense is worse because the defense plays behind them. What happens is the pitcher throws the ball and the batter on occasion hits the ball. Sometimes they strike out and sometimes it's a non-issue or they walk, right? But when they hit the ball, it then goes into what is called the field of play. And then the players that are the defensive players try to stop the ball from landing or from continuing past just being a single to a double or a triple. And this is something that the Mets are not good at, and they got worse at with Jay Bruce. That's a Daniel.
Okay, Miami Marlins.
I'm going to give them a Billy because I like that they're putting in the effort and they are close enough that they should try. I just don't think Cashman, Cashner, Cash Cow, Kashinsky, Kashinowitz, Kashanian.
No, not enough.
I don't think that was the right move. I like the Rodney move, though, even though he's been terrible for them. I did like that move, though. Making that, you know, the longer bullpen thing is smart.
Mm-hmm.
Smart baseball.
He's been up and down. He's had a couple of great outings, and he gives up 2 runs.
Yeah.
And then last but not least, the Washington Nationals.
I guess we give him a Billy. They didn't really do anything.
Melanson's an upgrade over Papelbon.
I guess that's true. I was, for some reason, I was canceling that out because it wasn't at the deadline. But yeah, getting Melanson is a very big improvement over Papelbon, who is probably injured, and that's why he's throwing 88 miles an hour, because he's at least 92, 93. And if you're throwing 4 miles an hour less, you're usually injured or you're hiding an injury. So yeah, we're going to give them, we give Washington a Billy for getting Melanson. Though I think they need a center fielder too, right?
Yes, definitely.
Or are they going to throw Trey Turner out there or whatever?
I probably don't know.
That's a great team, and they're going to be there in the playoffs at the end, and it's exciting to watch.
So that's it.
That's it.
Through all 30 teams.
Baldwin's out.
Baldwin's out.